AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your super moist Friday. Matt, Brett, you got a bike back home today, man?
Only about 20 minutes now that I've moved. Yeah, not bad, yeah.
Thank God. You're still going to be pound for pound the sweatiest bike you'll have this week. It is chunky outside.
You can, like, see the air. Hunter and I were kind of mentioning that. You can, like, it's a wall of heat.
It is. It is very, you got to be careful with this stuff. We do have a heat warning in effect. There is a tornado watch. I will mention this as well. A tornado watch in effect this afternoon. I would not be surprised if we did see some storms come on through. The one thing I will say is that it does seem that if we do see this, some heavier weather, it sounds like it might be on the north side of the metro. For most of the people out there listening right now, that's where they're more concerned about anything. A tornado watch, excessive heat warning in effect for right now. I'm not seeing anything on the radar right now. Not really, at least not in the metro area. As of right now, but don't be surprised if that changes, because once again, it is moist out there, and all the things are ripe for the pickings on this. So,
where's your global warming now? Oh wait,
no. Do we have Quinn yet?
Yeah, we got Quinn.
Beautiful. I got to get Quinn Nystrom on in here because it's and we've had Quinn on quite a bit. Quinn's of course a national spokesperson for diabetes awareness. She has been a point person here as she's been fighting for the Emergency Insulin Act, the act that would have put aside some funds in the state of Minnesota to buy insulin so that people who are even working as hard as they still can't afford insulin because the pharmaceutical companies have jacked up the price, have an option so that they don't have to ration insulin. We've had some cases where people have passed away because they've been rationing insulin, and it's truly a big problem. It should have been a no-brainer bill to get passed. The Republicans in the Senate, for some reason, they basically knocked it back down. Quinn Nystrom, once again, has been a point person on this issue, and she's kind enough to join us today to talk about the latest developments. Hi, Quinn.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. I wanted to bring back you and I last time we were on the air. We talked about some articles that were in the Brainerd Dispatch, a new story there. And there, you've actually taken some time to address some less than honest statements by Paul Gazelka, the Senate Majority Leader, in regards to interactions and your motivations in regards to the Insulin Act. Two points particularly you're counterpointing. The first one is that Paul Gazelka initially stated that you never once tried to get in touch with his office to talk about the Emergency Insulin Act. And that's just not true, correct?
Correct. I mean, you know, the Brainerd Dispatch chose to end the story with quoting Senator Paul Gazelka saying, "I had never reached out to his office. I knew for a fact that wasn't true. The Brainerd Dispatch never circled back with me to confirm if that was true or not. If they had, I would have told them it wasn't, and I had obviously my phone records to back that up." So unfortunately, the article went out. It was on the, you know, front half, you know, of the Sunday edition of the newspaper that got circulated with untruths by the Senate Majority Leader. I won't let anybody tell untruths, and I think it's important as a diabetes advocate. I work with Republicans and Democrats because I frankly don't understand why this is a partisan issue. So I certainly wasn't going to let Senator Gazelka lie about my contact with his office. So I provided my phone records immediately, soon as I saw that newspaper article, right away on Saturday morning to the Brainerd Dispatch.
And it shows that you did try to call him twice. In a statement to the Dispatch, Gazelka conceded those calls may have occurred. No, they occurred. You may not want them to have occurred because you basically lied about Quinn Nystrom trying to reach out, but they did occur. Our office may have taken the calls, but I was in negotiations with the governor and the speaker on the 23rd, 24th, and wasn't seeing any lobbyists or constituents at that point, Gazelka wrote. I'm still willing to see Quinn Nystrom about her concerns and what might be able to do to help people with life-threatening problems. I'll ask right now, I mean, if he's insisting he'll sit down and meet with you, have you been in touch with him since?
Well, you know, as I've said, I've waited for a call or an email back from his office since May. I still have not heard from his office, even based on the interview that he obviously gave the Dispatch this week, saying that he'd meet with me. So I think obviously it's clear that he does not want to return my calls. So it's very clear to me that I'm going to yet again have to take the initiative to try to track down Senator Gazelka to meet with him. So it's very frustrating to me that it takes so much effort from a volunteer to try to just simply meet with the majority leader. Because again, I think it becomes very frustrating for regular everyday citizens then to try to navigate this political system when it shouldn't be that difficult. You know, our elected officials work for the citizens of the state. It's that simple.
Well, and once again, I was just talking to someone else about this today. This is shocking how much this used to be a no-brainer issue. No one would have batted an eye. As a matter of fact, they probably would have passed this within the first one or two days of a session, and everyone would have been shaking hands saying, hey, see, we can work together. The fact that this is still not passed and there's no special session scheduled as of right now because of Paul Gazelka is mind-numbing.
Well, and I said, you know, his original interview to the Dispatch when the first article came out, you know, on the Sunday paper of last week, the interview that he gave doubling down that there would not be a special session happened to be on the exact date that Jesse, you know, the young 21-year-old man, was being buried in St. Louis Park due to insulin rationing. I mean, it just blows my mind, Matt. And again, I am not lambasting the state GOP. There are actually Republicans that I like.
Well, and let me step in here, because that was the second point of the article that you had a point with. And namely that the Dispatch labeled the article "Diabetes Advocates Lambast State GOP for Not Passing Insulin Act, but Gazelka Pushes Back Against the Allegations." Your point was, no, this is not a partisan issue. And you have worked with numerous other members of the GOP who are very eager to see the Emergency Insulin Act pass, correct?
Correct. And that's why I called the Dispatch, and along with giving them my phone records, I said, here are the long list of Republicans on the federal and the state level that I have reached out to and personally sat down and met with. You know, I have sat down with Congressman Pete Stauber out in Washington, D.C. to discuss this issue. I have sat down and met with Representative Josh Heintzman, State Senator Kerry Rood, State Representative John Poston. You know, John Poston, you know, went on record saying, yes, I support Quinn's work. And he even went on record saying, I don't know why this bill did not pass. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's a type 2 diabetic. So that was important for me because, again, I believe in my heart that, yes, even though I'm a Democrat, you know, Senator Gazelka thinks it's more important to try to, you know, reveal that I'm a Democrat. Yeah, I'm a Democrat because I want to stay alive, Matt.
Well, he's using that as a ploy to basically see the only people complaining about this are Democrats, and it's complete deflection. I mean, yeah, and I'll say this is me saying this, and I don't have any problem saying this. It's just a coward's way out because he's desperate to basically do what the drug companies want him to do. So he's frantically trying to find something by saying, "Oh, it's just a Democratic issue. She's never called my office." He's throwing out all these red herrings because the reality is he's terrified of actually having to answer to the people of Minnesota. Why isn't there a special session? How did this not get passed?
Yeah, I mean, to me, honestly, I just don't understand it. I've asked a lot of my Republican friends, you know, my younger brother who has type 1 diabetes, he actually leans more Republican, actually. I've talked to him about this. You know, there are people who are Republicans who have diabetes, who struggle to afford insulin. Like, it just shocks me, especially Wadena County, where Senator Gazelka represents. They have one of the highest rates in the state for type 2 diabetes. And I've worked for a health system in Wadena County. They have such a high incidence of struggling to afford insulin. I mean, it just shocks me. I don't understand why it's so difficult to pass this bill. And, you know, are the pharma companies really giving him that much incentive over to save human lives?
Well, and we dance around the subject. The reality is those are poor voters who are generally, they've already deemed, they're probably not going to support him in his reelection. The fact that they're in his own district doesn't matter. It's just, what can they do for him? And if he doesn't feel they can do anything for him, he doesn't want to do anything for them. Like, keep them alive, for goodness sakes. I will say this, and Quinn, you and I both know this. This is a nightmarish issue come 2020 for them. This is a nightmarish issue. Henceforth, they're probably going to try to hold it hostage initially. The beginning of if there is no special session, which correct. By the way, there will be if there is none, because I mean, as much as Gazelka says this is going to be bad, I think that if everyone gets in touch with their representatives and, you know, he starts hearing back from it, he'll schedule it up. But if it goes to the regular session next year, it's such a nightmarish issue for the Republicans. They might try to hold it hostage for a tax break, but the reality is there's no way on the planet the Emergency Insulin Act is not going to get passed by the end of next session, because the last thing these people want to do is have diabetics coming to them in October of next year saying, why should we be voting for you? You voted to give people the death sentence. And so they're eventually going to do it. It just is, it's, you know, this is just such a cowardly thing for him to do.
Well, and again, here's what I don't understand. If they're going to pass it anyways next October, to me, they are still going to have to answer for why did they delay the passage of it? Because we have told him, and we have told Senator Michelle Benson, who would not give us a committee hearing on this bill, because she's the chair of the committee, we told them every single day that this bill is not passed, there is a higher likelihood that another person is going to die in the state of Minnesota from insulin rationing. And again, we saw this happen 2 weeks ago with Jesse in St. Louis Park.
Jesse David Schur Radcliffe was the man who passed away. Once again, working two jobs, doing what he's supposed to be doing, but because insulin has gone up 12,000% in cost, basically he still could not afford it, even though he's working two jobs to try to stay alive.
Totally. I mean, and again, the Yale study shows that one in four Americans admit to rationing their insulin because they can't afford it, okay? And 7.5 million Americans depend on insulin every day to stay alive. So we got a massive, massive problem here. Massive problem. And so again, I think the Republicans are going to have a huge issue if they do not bring this to a special session this year, because you are going to see more Minnesotans die because they failed to get this passed. And again, I feel bad because we have support from Republicans on the House side. So this is the Republicans on the Senate side.
Well, and you actually have a few Republicans on the Senate, too. And once again, they're eventually going to pass it. The question here is, the Republicans are asking, can they get away with poor diabetics dying before they take up action? And that's really what it comes down to, because that's the will people hold the deaths of Jesse and anyone else that dies before they get off their cabooses and pass the Emergency Insulin Act? Will they hold it against Republicans? And that's what they're trying. And that is an incredibly disgusting thing to have to sit there and weigh. I mean, will they hold it against us if people die because of the bill we could have passed, we didn't do it? I mean, that is a real disingenuous thing. They will pass this. And like you said, there are numerous senators that have been on board with this. The other thing that I want to make sure I mention about Gazelka is that regardless of whether you, Quinn, called him, which you did, which he lied about, and then he basically tried to cover himself on that. But the reality is there are numerous other people, including the governor's office, the Speaker of the House, everyone were calling him and saying, well, let's get this thing passed. So for him to act like this is some fringe issue, which his own party had agreed to in the Senate to pass, they had already agreed to pass it. Everyone wanted it. He's being incredibly disingenuous. This bill was on the agenda. He basically yanked it off the agenda, and that should be noted.
Correct. And again, I don't understand for the life of me why this is being delayed. And again, we see the lobbying dollars. We see that Novo Nordisk, the largest diabetes insulin manufacturer in the world, hired again Ben Goldstein to come in March. That's public records. I think it's important for the public to know that. I mean, I think that's important public information. Those are the facts. I know that, again, Senator Paul Gazelka said in that Dispatch article when he was asked about it, you know, because I told the Dispatch about it, you know, that he doesn't recall what was discussed in those conversations.
Oh, of course not.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I just don't believe that.
He's, you know, I'll say it. I think he's lying. I think he's lying. I think he knows exactly what was discussed in those conversations.
Yeah, I just don't buy that. I think those are very important conversations based on the money that's being passed around.
Either that or his office is wildly incompetent. Let's face it. I mean, he didn't know you called. He doesn't know
exactly
what when he's meeting with me. Maybe he's just incompetent. I don't know. But I'm going to guess he knew exactly what the lobbyist for the big pharma talked to him about. But we'll put that aside for the time being. I know you're on the road. I appreciate the time here. I'm going to link to this story a little bit later on. I'm also going to come back after I take this break. I'm going to talk about, I believe it's your dad's editorial that the Brainerd Dispatch put out here. Because once again, this is not a political position. This is not Democrat. This is Republican. This is a human life condition. And it's an issue that we need to get past. So Quinn, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the effort. All my best this weekend. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Matt, for helping us raise awareness on this issue.
By all means, thank you. Quinn Nystrom joining us from the road, 952-946-6205. We'll come on back. An excellent editorial here in the Brainerd Dispatch from Quinn's dad. We'll talk about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. I'm an idealist working to change the world. My show, Ellie 2.0 Radio, highlights other past and present idealists and the incredible things humans can do when we work for the greater good. You remember that idea about the greater good, right? I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. and be inspired on AM 950.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
We're breaking out this time, making out with the wind.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I'll say it, what it really is. Quinn Nystrom, she's trying her death, because Gazelka is desperately trying to just play this off as it's just Democrats. No, Paul, let's be honest. Paul Gazelka, and someone make sure he hears this next statement, okay? Paul, it comes down to the fact that these are poor people and you just don't care about the poor. You don't. Your entire goal, the entire basic business model for the Republican Party today is getting money for reelection campaigns and getting a lobbying gig later so that when the big pharma companies come knocking on the door, you quickly grab your knee pads and get ready to go. But people dying on something we can fix, that doesn't matter because they're poor. poor, and you don't care about the poor. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about the poor. You don't care. You do not care. And as a matter of fact, in my personal opinion, anytime that Gazelka or Benson shows up for a parade this summer, people should be giving them, you know, throwing their empty, you know, insulin vials at their feet. Well, you probably shouldn't do that. I don't want broken glass on roadways. But that being said, it just, these people are disgusting. It's, they don't care because the people who are dying are poor. They've already labeled them as they're not probably going to vote Republican anyway. So a few of them dying, what's the big deal? That's where their real motivation seems to be. It's not. I guarantee you, if this was a problem that affected wealthy kids, one wealthy white kid in Wayzata getting down with the problem, and Gazelka would be like, come on, Melissa, come on, Governor, let's get back to St. Paul and get this problem solved. But the fact that it's a poor person, might be from Minneapolis, might be from his own district, but they're poor, they're not going to vote for me anyway, so maybe we can get another big tax break for the wealthy before I save a few people's lives. And by the way, Paul, no one believes that you don't know exactly what the big pharma lobbyist talked to you about. We all know you're lying when you say, I don't recall. We all know exactly that you do know what was said in that meeting. And if you want, why don't you tell you what? Why don't you release all your emails? All your emails, all the, even the off the record emails you guys use. Why don't you release all those? You can put your money where your mouth is. If you can't recall, I expect to see an email from one of your email accounts saying, I don't recall what I just discussed with those young men. Robert Nystrom, Quinn's father, wrote an op-ed that also the Brainerd Dispatch picked up. Diabetes is not a political position. Democrats, Republicans are both diabetics. 7.5 million Americans live with insulin-dependent diabetes. As a pharmacist for 40 years, I understand the cost and care of diabetes. On a personal note, I'm the father of two adult children, Quinn and Will, living with diabetes. Between 1996 and 2018, insulin prices rose by 1,200%. Alone, 1,200%. But God forbid, Paul, you heaven forbid you ask any questions about that. God forbid you ask why insulin cost, 120 times less in Canada. Or 12 times less in Canada. 12 times less in Canada than it is in the United States. God forbid you ask that question, Paul. Because, you know, those big pharma people are not going to hire lobbyists that get snooty. So I got to be nice. I'm guessing that's what the conversation is. Lobbyists for Big Pharma attended the Minnesota legislative session, spending large sums to persuade members of the GOP to kill the bill. Majority Leader Paul Gazelka admitted to touch base with the representatives of the pharmaceutical industry. He didn't recollect any specific discussions regarding insulin, nor pressure to stall any legislation. As for the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act, a legislative measure to provide emergency insulin, a clerical error was cited by Senate Republicans for not being seen on the committee, and thus the bill died. How convenient. It must have been a hard time believing that it didn't influence the decision. Alex Smith, 26, was rationing his insulin, hoping that it would be his hoping it would last, but it didn't. He died. How many Minnesotans will have to die before this legislation is inactive? We can't wait. Not when one of our in four diabetics is rationing life-sustaining insulin. People are dying. A second young man, Jesse, David Scherer Radcliffe, died this past week in the Twin Cities due to rationing insulin and the lack of health insurance. This is not a political issue. This is a human rights issue. It's time for Senate Republicans to put aside their differences, join the Minnesota House and Governor Walz, who've already supported the bill. This is a no-brainer. But once again, there are discussions happening within Republican circles. How many poor people can die before we actually have to take this seriously? And because, I mean, if I knew, okay, if I was a politician, and I don't give a rat's caboose what the problem was, but I had someone come to me and say, you know, here's the deal. We people can't afford their drugs for this issue. We could set up an emergency fund, and you know what? There's a decent chance if we get this thing passed, we could save 3 or 4 people's lives this year alone. Wow, really? The weight of the importance of realizing I actually have a human life that I can save within my realm of my day-to-day responsibilities. Dear Lord, my God, yes, absolutely, let's save these people's lives. I cannot understand, especially anyone who claims to be Christian, You claim to be Christian and you're not scrambling to get the Emergency Insulin Act passed. You're not a Christian. Or at least you're not a really good Christian. You kind of suck at being Christian. You really do. And I you know, you guys got to realize, you sitting and demanding tax breaks or demanding some tax, you know, tax rebate or whatever before you'll save these people, that's not the way to go on this. And waiting until a few more people die to hope that that people will forget the people who died from February till November next year because then we acted. No, I'm going to hold you guys accountable because this is the epitome of bad government. It's bad government. Not choosing to not save people's lives. And Paul Gazelka, you're just a jerk, man. And stop, just stop. Just give this up. Go get the special session. Get this done. Save some people's lives. Then you can go back to, you know, sucking up for the lobbying gig later on, okay? Jeff is in Minneapolis. Let's get his call in here before the break. Welcome on in, Jeff.
Yeah, Matt, agrees 100%. Republican parties, they don't look at human beings anymore. They just look at corporations as human beings, and they don't care about lives. And as far as I'm concerned, in Minnesota, Republican Party has blood on their hands. Terrible. Terrible. But I have just one quick thing that I'd like to just ask you, and I'll get off the air.
Sure.
Would you be willing to have Representative Omar on your show as a guest speaker?
I would love to.
That would be important.
I got in contact with her media people yesterday. And,
awesome.
And I did. And they basically have not called me back. I'm guessing, considering she's doing stuff with like the London Times, I imagine. I mean, the BBC and stuff. Hi, would you like to do my show in an AM?
But don't give up, Matt.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff. Hi. Would you like to be on with me? That'd be great. We'll talk about the Twins. They're a good team. I'd love to have. I've had her on twice before, back when she was a House member, Minnesota House member. I had her on twice. I'd love to have Ilhan Omar back on again. And so we can always dream. We can always dream. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A revelation when I come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having its annual store-wide sale. For the entire month of July, all of our indoor and outdoor fireplace products and accessories are at their lowest price of the year. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we display, explain, and install the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of indoor and outdoor stoves and fireplaces, including metal and masonry pizza ovens.
My dog Stenson loves summers, visiting the dog park, long walks in the woods, and sleeping in the sun. But he is missing winter. Oh, not the outdoor outhouse, snow on his paws or frozen ears, but those lovely long nights in front of the fire. I bought an energy-efficient wood stove from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces about 7 years ago. Having a wood stove means more than lower heating bills. It means a happy dog.
Come see us. We have over 35 working displays in our store, which is just off I-94 at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, since 1977, out of the ordinary products and services to make fire work for you.
Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Conquer the road trip family vacation. It's easy with the Toyota Sienna. The trick to road trips is to not get exhausted, and as a man who's been behind the wheel for 16-hour days, the Toyota Sienna makes those days comfortable. Roomy, relaxing, and a treat to drive, it makes the long day's drive easy. Highway driving, city driving, or country driving, you'll make it a memorable trip with a Toyota Sienna. And it fits all your gear! Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
And try the crepes, too. Very tasty crepes. They also have very good butternut squash ravioli, but the breakfasts are... That's a good breakfast, man. Hazel's Northeast, eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I did want to mention before I get into my revelation, this is funny. There's a... Facebook post on State Representative Tim Miller's personal page. He's a Republican. We learned of a new House Republican caucus member, Steve Drazkowski, will highlight an August 1st fundraiser for Citizens for Miller. Fifth annual winery fundraiser. Winery? Winery? What are you talking about? Isn't that supposed to be whiskey and beer? Winery? You having some Pinot Noir? Is there going to be some white Zin? That's sounds kind of less than right-wing America kind of drinking beverages. Maybe that's be, I bet it's the winery because they can close the gates. You know, keep the peasants away. Keep them away. This is at Hinterland Vineyards, wherever. This is the part which will get you. It's kind of interesting. Special guest speaker is Representative Steve Drazkowski, the Draz. He'll be speaking again. His topic of conversation, the case against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Wow. Wow. Draz, his entire speech is the case against Ilhan Omar. What? What are you suggesting you take her out back and shoot her, Draz? Are you saying that an American citizen should be deported, Draz? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that we should arrest her because she's Muslim? Are we going to go back to, okay, I want to make sure you guys understand. You ran against Keith Ellison in 2018. Your entire Republican campaign strategy was black Muslim man, black Muslim man. That's what your entire campaign strategy was. And he won. Ilhan Omar is not going to be on the ballot. But can some media personality, I don't know, maybe one of the news people, a journalist, put a microphone in Drazkowski's face and say, what do you mean the case against Ilhan Omar? What do you mean? Are you saying that she shouldn't be a congresswoman, that she should be deported? What are you calling for Ilhan Omar that she lose election? Well, then we have an election and you can campaign against her. But what is your case here? What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that she be jailed? She should be shot? What are you suggesting? And I think Draz needs to explain that because I kind of get the impression that he's saying, hey, right-wing racist guys, wink, 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 wink. Hey, guess what I'm going to talk about? Come on out to the Hinterland Vineyards. Hinterland Vineyards. Ah, very good. Very good, yeah. Paper, please. Oh, danke. Come out to Hinterland Vineyards. It's Hinterland Vineyards. Hinterland Vineyards. And, you know, bring your sheets. 952-946-6205. You know, I've been screaming a lot. I have been. I've been getting angrier and angrier. It's not something, I don't think it's good radio necessarily. I don't. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. We used to be able to have shows where we could talk about light and airy things. You know, we had an entire show one time about state fair foods. I remember that. But ever since things have happened with Trump, this country is going in a scarier and scarier and scarier direction. And it is. It really is. And I've gone into my lifetime. I mean, I was very young when Nixon left office. I remember the very end of the Vietnam War. We saw the Iran-Contra. We saw Monica Lewinsky, 9/11, Iraq War, first African-American president. We've seen a lot of things in my time. This is by far the darkest time in America. And it's not just me saying that. I talked a few weeks ago to a psychologist friend of mine, and she had made the point to me that in the last 3 years, she goes, I used to occasionally talk to clients about politics and the anxiety and stuff that comes with politics. She goes, in the last 3 years, almost every single day, at least half my clients, we talk politics a little bit because people are that frustrated, that sad, that upset. They are, it's a dangerous time in America, people. It's a dangerous time in America. And that's what we need to understand. The reason I'm getting angry, the reason why I'm yelling a lot, the reason why is I can see where we're going as a country. I can see which direction we're going. When you saw that rally in North Carolina, the racist rally in North Carolina, send her back. That is a very terrifying image that I never dreamed we'd ever see in America. I mean, not since the era of George Wallace have we seen anything like this. And it is terrifying. It is really terrifying. And it leads me to ask the question of where we are going to go, because the reality is we are heading down a very bad path. And yes, this is starting to look a lot like Germany pre-World War II. It is looking a lot like Germany pre-World War II. And trust me, the amount of people that sit and defend the racism is astounding to me. It is absolutely astounding. There was when I was stationed, I was in the military, I was stationed in the Nuremberg area, and there was a newspaper editor in Nuremberg who railed a lot against Hitler as he rose to power and kept saying to people, do not allow this man to take charge. We are going to go down a very, very bad path. And he was begging and pleading people. And then one day he and his entire family disappeared and they have not been seen ever since. They disappeared. Door was kicked into their place. They were taken away, shot, and probably buried in some pit in some yard someplace. And that was that. And, and he was right. And by the way, the guy was right. He saw where things were going. But they basically didn't like him telling the truth. And he in the end, became the most empirical evidence to his case was his disappearance and, likely murder at the hands of, at that point, the brown shirts. Could I see myself getting picked up at this point? It's getting scarier. It is getting scarier and scarier the further and further this goes. And I got to tell you the truth is, there are two things I've thought about lately. Would there ever come a point where I would have to flee the United States? And two, would I come home one day and a bunch of armed guys are there saying, say your goodbyes. That's that. I don't think that those are necessarily outlandish. That's not any kind of really crappy, World War III fan fiction anymore. I think we are at a point where this country is breaking. And it's never been in a worse time than it is now. And it started under Obama, not because of Obama though, but because the people who couldn't stand Obama because of the color of his skin basically started ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. And there are multiple people and groups that have failed us as we've gotten to this point. And once again, if you look at the history of Germany, there were multiple fail-safes that failed there too, that should have stopped something like Hitler from happening, but they all failed to do their job, and we are going down this same exact path today. One of the largest culprits in this day and age of the failure and this rise of the extreme right wing in this country has been the media. Hillary Clinton, think about this. Hillary Clinton in the debates of 2016 was 1,000% correct about everything she said. She did not, calling them the deplorables, talking about Trump being a Russian puppet, she was 1,000% correct. But what did the media do when she pointed out all this stuff? They made it out to be as like, every Democrat has to, do you think that the deplorables are deplorable? I don't know. Show them the rally in North Carolina where they were chanting. Show them any footage from any of these rallies. They're deplorables. Yeah, they are. But that the media, they are so, well, outside of Fox, I mean, Fox is clearly there to help push a Republican agenda. They have a media that is far more concerned with validating a non-necessary debate rather than reporting the truth. They pass this crap off on us and act as if this is some sort of legitimate news coverage. It's not. I mean, how many times have we seen the climate change discussion? 99.99% of all scientists think climate change is real. But one guy who's been paid by the coal and oil industry says no, and the media says, I guess the debate still goes on. No, we used to have media that would say, that's just ludicrous, clearly climate change is happening. But they try to validate a debate, and they just did it. CNN just did it this week with they brought in these Republican women who were diehard Trump supporters to get their unbiased response to Trump's racism. Of course they were all for Trump. So it's either trying to validate a discussion that doesn't need to happen, or it's trying to basically make Republicans look better than they really are. And the media has failed us, and it's failed us on every single stinking level. I wrote a blog piece out there, What Does It Take?, where I said, my God, you list off the Republican stories that should have been covered somewhat in the Twin Cities media, and they don't even recover them because, God forbid, they're so terrified, they're so Stockholm syndromed, that they're so terrified of being labeled liberal media, they don't even want to report on Republicans doing bad things anymore. And when Democrats do something good, they try to downplay it. When Democrats do something bad, they try to upplay it. As I am concerned about where we're going, I will say this. I think still the saving grace is the U.S. military. And I know there are some people out there who's like, I don't trust them. Trust me, I have zero doubt the U.S. military has already gone to Trump and said, do not make us drag you out of this White House. We don't want to do it, but we will. We are not going to go to war against our own citizens. We are not going to start rounding up brown-skinned people in different areas of the country. We're not going to go out there and start asking people for their political papers. Are you a Democrat or a Republican? The military has already told him they're not going to do it. And even if one or two generals might be on board, I guarantee you the troops are not going to be on board with something like that. Many of those people come from those communities. And henceforth, they're not about to start rounding up their neighbors. It's very different military than it was in Germany. And that's a saving grace. And I guarantee you, there might be one or two people within the military chain of command that are a little bit iffy, but you'd have to replace a good chunk of the leadership at the Pentagon to even think about trying to pull something like that off. So I think the saving grace here in this country is our U.S. military would look at Trump and said, if you dare try to get us to do this, we will drag you out of that White House one way or the other. But this brings me to the point of why I go after people like Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic leadership. The Democratic leadership are moderate Democrats, okay? And one of the problems they have, see if you can follow this explanation here. You have a farm field, all right? And you are standing near a fence on your farm field, and there's a guy on the other side of that fence who's, 5 feet away from you. And then there's a guy within your own field who's 50 feet away from you. The moderate Democrats look still across the fence line at the moderate Republicans over on the other side of the fence and still think they have more in common with them than they do with the other Democrats within the party. And the problem they don't understand is that from the Republican side of that fence, they see that distance as light years to the Democratic side. Because they don't want to work with the Democrats. And so the Democratic Party the moderate Democrats are doing what they can to try to basically work with the other side because they feel like there's something in common with them than the person who's on their own side already. They sit there and they say, maybe Susan Collins will vote with us this time. Nope. Maybe Lisa Murkowski will vote with us this time. Nope. How about this? We have Trump dead to rights on a racism thing. How many Republicans joined our side? Four total Republicans. Four. And one of them was African American. So clearly he was not too happy with the go back home memes that he was putting back out there. But four, that's it. That's what all your attempting to dance the balance being moderate Democrats, that's all you got was four. And you guys are still infatuated with trying to win over 100 or so Republicans. They'll just see our side. We're going to do the Mr. Smith goes to Washington, and they're going to join us on our side. And then the rest of the Democrats we can take for granted. And you just don't understand how the playing field is laid out right now. You don't. You have no idea. You're not even paying attention to it. The guys on the other side of the fence want nothing to do with you. So you better go look at the other guy on the 50 yards away from you in your own field, and you better find a way to work with that person because that's your backup, not the guy on the other side of the fence. Does that make sense? And as you guys are sitting there trying to appease some moderate Republicans who do not exist, you're failing to do your job. Yesterday, we found out Trump lied once again. He knew about the Stormy Daniels payoff. Hope Hicks lied. We know this. End of story, end of discussion. Impeachment. Nothing. Stern wagging of the finger because their main goal is to try to still win over a handful of Republican voters as opposed to work with their own party. The Democrats keep losing when they only concern themselves with the votes of a handful of Republicans who will not vote Democrat. They win when they look at the 110 million registered voters who sat out the last presidential election and said, those are mostly Democrats. If we stay by Democratic ideals and not sell the party out to try to win over a handful of Republicans who will not vote with us anyway, we win. It's that simple. And at this point, as we careen further and further and further to the right, it's becoming more and more inexcusable that the Democratic leadership is still banking on moderate Republicans as opposed to their own party. I don't like to have a party of von Ribbentrops. People sitting there are saying, oh, well, I'm going to be an independent voice, but I'm going to hold them accountable, but whatever you say. There comes a point where the leadership of the Democratic Party is working more on behalf of Trump than they are for the Democrats. Stop trying this. Falling all over yourself to try to win one or two Republican votes. Let me point out something to you. Republicans do not try to work with the Democrats. How has that gone for them? Oh, they keep winning? Yeah, there you go. They are not held accountable because the people in that vote Republican look at them at least of towing the party line. If you just stood together as Democrats and realized we are on the precipice of losing this country and fighting for democratic principles like that matters, for God's sakes, then we wouldn't lose an election. We wouldn't lose an election. Instead, you guys are still looking to the other side of the fence saying, I'd rather have the guy that's not even in my party with us than the people that are in our party. And that's the failure of the current moderate democratic leadership. If we do not change this, I do see a day when I disappear. I can't even comprehend where this country, if Trump wins again in 2020, I can't even comprehend where the hell this country is going to be by the time we get to 2024. But I don't think it's going to look anything like the democracy that it was even 15 years ago. It's going to be a completely different country. And I'll be damned if I'm going to sit on the sidelines when I've got threats against me going on in place and be quiet. I am sure as hell not going to be quiet. And I sure as heck am getting tired day in, day out of the failure of the Democratic leadership to treat this crisis with the urgency it needs. Do your damn jobs. I'm doing mine. To my detriment. 952-946-6205. Hold on, Jeff and Jeff. I'll get your calls after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parol, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
You know what's cool? Summer is cool. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning also thinks it's cool, too. Well, be cool in the summer. That's why Standard is giving you $900 in savings on a ductless unit or air conditioning system now through the end of July. Just imagine having reliable cooling comfort all summer long for years to come. So contact Standard or go to standardheatingdeals.com to learn how you can save $900 on a new AC system. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Jeff and Jeff. Jeff in Cambridge, Jeff in Briar Lake. I apologize. I'm sorry I went long there, but I had to get that out. The reality is we have been moving this far to the right because we are allowing it to happen. The checks and balances to save this country are in place. And when the moderate Democrats, and once again, they're blinded by their desire to work with moderate Republicans, even though that system doesn't exist anymore, that it's foregoing their responsibility, not only to the country, but to their party. I don't know what we're going to do, folks, but if this goes down the wrong path, we are going to look at the Democratic leadership as the von Ribbentrops of this whole thing. The people that were there that could have stopped something that instead decided I don't want to be made fun of. That's weak. That is weak. Have a good weekend. We're back on Monday. Till then, see you.